From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We will talk some NFL playoffs. I'm sure we'll talk some Ole Miss stuff as well. Don't really know what's coming, but we're back in routine, back with you throughout the week. And as we move forward into 2020, today the first day that I was able to write the date down without writing 19 first, having to delete it and go back and write 20. So we're already off to a little better start this morning on the show. It's brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Ribs, lunch specials, those are $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink, so many different things you can take advantage of there with the Oxford Exxon, including going next door to the Oxford Crystal. Your basketball ticket is a coupon, $150 off a sackful or a steamer pack. The Rebels coming off a 20-point loss to Wichita State in Kansas on Saturday. We'll discuss that as well as a move into SEC play. Now Ole Miss going to A&M tomorrow night for that one, for their conference opener. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop it around, or you can do what I've done, and that's hop into a Clark Ford today. You'll love the vehicle. You'll love the service that you get after the sale. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy, and he'll prove that to you once you make a phone call. 662-257-1900.
What do you want to talk about, Mr. McCready?
Oh, I'm sure people want a welfare check on you, probably first and foremost.
I've never been more proud of a decision I made. So, and I was kind of wishy-washy on the podcast. I guess we talked about it on Thursday. I went to New Orleans for the weekend. Did not go to the game yesterday. I didn't feel very well. Had the child with me, and just kind of made the decision to get up early and come back and watch it at home instead for a couple different reasons. And that was a great decision in hindsight. I am very happy that I did that. I'll tell you, very frustrating game. I mean, everybody's duh. The window, blowing this many opportunities in a window, is what will hurt as time goes on. That's the thing that really resonates with me. Because look, I was definitely upset in the moment. Definitely right when the game was over. I feel like I have a pretty good handle on sports, though. I mean, I woke up this morning and went, "It's just football." I tell you what I hate, and I think I said this last year too. Well, not last year, year before the Minneapolis Miracle year, is that I hate not having the build-up to Saturday now. You know what I mean? Like, I hate not having the week where I can talk about it and read about it and really kind of immerse myself in everything associated with it. That's what I miss more than anything else.
Sure.
I mean, that's the part of this that really sucks. But, yeah, I mean, I told a buddy last night, I would just like for them to lose a game regularly if we're going to lose one. Just 3 years in a row where it's two overtime games, it's the 60-yard walk-off, just lose a normal one where I don't have that kind of thing going on. But
well, look,
the deal too, though. If you can't beat Minnesota at home, you aren't winning the whole thing. It's the truth. Now Minnesota, a much different team with Adam Thielen healthy, with Cook healthy. I mean, that was not the team that played most of the second half of that season, but that game was immensely winnable, and New Orleans did not do that. Breeze with the bad turnover that just cannot happen. I thought, frankly, that was the game. I thought
too.
Breeze's turnover was the play of the game.
Because it came right after one of the Taysom Hill plays where the
moment. He was just rolling. I mean, you thought they were going to go down, take the lead right there, and at worst, get the ball back in a tie game or
I was actually thinking about, because before that, I was undefeated for the week, and I was thinking, they're going to score here. Minnesota's going to be in a hurry, make a mistake. Saints are going to score again, and I'm going to get a cover.
Yeah.
And then the fumble happened, and from that point forward, it was tight. I thought the Saints were tight early. I thought Breeze was tight. I'd say it reminded me of the feeling I had at the end of Game 6 of the 2016 Western Conference Finals. When I said, that was the end of the window. The window just closed. I mean, I know he's still, but Drew Brees is going to be in his 40s the entire season.
He's a free agent. They'll re-sign him, but he's a free agent at the end of the year now.
If I'm them, I have some serious contemplation about what I do at this point. How much money am I willing to put into Drew Brees right now? They believe in Taysom Hill. They could sign.
I think he's the next quarterback.
They could keep Teddy Bridgewater around. They know that works. I have to give some serious contemplation to that whole deal. It's just like if I'm New England, I don't re-sign Tom Brady. I move on.
Getting asked on the live stream. By definition, it was pass interference, but you're never getting that call. I'm not upset about that.
No.
That is what it is.
In fact, I watched it live and didn't think it. And then when I watched the replay, I'm like, yeah, but that happens a lot.
Yeah, it's...
That was never getting reviewed.
By definition, but sure. And they did review it. They just upheld it.
Yeah.
They said there was hand fighting and it was upheld.
Yeah.
They had a pool report. Larry Holder talked to the official after the game. Yeah, look, I mean, it's the window. That's the hard part. Teddy's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere next year. I don't think it's New Orleans. I think it's Taysom Hill if it's not Drew. I still think it's Breeze. I think he comes back. Now, here's where you got to be careful, though. You can't pay him this number.
Well, that's my
that
point.
Gets so stupid.
That's my point.
Yeah, that...
That's my point.
Because you have to try to salvage something with the window. I mean, you can't let this thing completely fall apart at the same time. I mean, they're not in as bad a shape as like the Rams, per se, from a draft pick
right.
and a cap standpoint. But, I mean, you still have Michael Thomas. Still got Alvin Kamara, who, frankly, wasn't very good yesterday.
No.
Although, Ole Miss. The Saints' offensive line, though, got badgered yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't hold up. Minnesota played coverage for most of the game and still just did no good from a running the ball standpoint.
Well,
Murray gave him a spark, honestly, if anything, from a rushing standpoint.
Well, the guy that gave him the spark was Hill.
Hill, yeah.
Repeatedly. I think it's time to move on. I'm on the record saying that. I think the league is changing. I think the league's about to further change if the Lincoln Riley stuff is true.
Mm-hmm.
That's yet another coach who's going to come in. I'll be fascinated to see what that means for Dak Prescott in Dallas. Does it mean that is he a better fit for Prescott, or do they move on from Prescott? Do they go with a different type of quarterback? There's a lot happening nationally in football today, with the NFL and the college game being more similar stylistically today than it's ever really been. Like, what happens with Tua today? Does Tua come out? Does Tua stay? I think he's going to stay. The fact that they're having a press conference, to me, is not a clue that something's happening. That tells you the media demand in Alabama for that story. And it's just so much easier on everyone to go ahead and have a press conference. Everyone. And I do think that's what that is. I don't think that's a clue.
What's your guess, though?
My guess is he's staying based on things that I've heard.
Well, are we putting any – and I don't want to put everything into this by any stretch of imagination. Are we putting anything into the fact that Alabama had that little domino tweet the other day as soon as it got started coming out?
Yeah. But one of those dominoes supposedly has already declared that he's going pro.
Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, sometimes I just think they're having fun.
That's fair.
I do think you can have too much, you can put too much into trying to, it's one of the problems with the official Twitter feeds and stuff, is unless that's consistently your personality. It leads to a lot of crazy speculation, and I think people sit in a room and laugh at it. I don't know that it means anything. For example, I don't think Nick Saban said, hey, put out a domino tweet.
Oh, well, good God, no.
Right. So I think he's staying. I think he's staying in large part because he's not going to be healthy enough to participate in the combine, which if you look at the way that the NFL is orchestrated, I was reading a story yesterday. I don't remember. It was written fairly recently, but it's dated a couple of weeks. The Chicago Tribune did a deep dive into the Bears' decision to take Trubisky instead of either Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. And it shows you just how much the NFL has this four-month period, basically, to second-guess and triple-guess and quadruple-guess, and they overthink and outthink and then think some more, and they make mistakes. And for Tua, that inability to work out and to show people, hey, I'm okay, is going to paralyze the NFL. Although it only takes one. It would only take Lincoln Riley,
for
example.
So that's the positive. It only takes one.
Lincoln Riley in Dallas going, hey, I know what this kid can do. I want him. But if you take him and then he's not healthy and he's not himself, well, you've made an absolute critical error that will haunt you. I mean, it's the end of Ryan Pace's NFL career, this Trubisky thing. It's over. He'll never be a GM again if Trubisky can't salvage this.
Given, not fair, but given all the options, and well, frankly, it is fair. I mean, you're picking a guy. No, I mean, it's fair.
It was, what's interesting is that John Fox at the time was the coach of the Bears, and he and all of his people came back going, Watson, Watson, Watson. There was unanimity inside that building in March. And Mahomes' workout was fantastic. He even, at the end of his workout in Chicago, at the end of his workout, he was doing the no-look passes and stuff. People were wowed by him. Like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Trubisky, Fox did not like Trubisky. Not personally, just did not think he was an NFL quarterback, certainly not of that caliber. So it just tells you that you have all this time to think and they screw it up. And so the fact that Tua can't work out is going to be a negative that is going to get into the minds of NFL people over the course of a few months. Now, coming back, here's this thing, is if you come back at Alabama and get hurt again, because today I think Tua goes 17th-ish in the draft.
Yeah, mid-first. Call it what you want to call it.
And yes, if he comes back healthy, he's a top five pick. But what if he comes back and he gets hurt? Or if he comes back and he's rusty and you fall into the second or third round. For example, it's going to take DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown years to make up for their fall in the draft. Mm-hmm. Years. Contractually, the way contracts work. So I don't know. Fascinating decision.
I did have a little decision to make yesterday that you can tell me if I was a really bad neighbor or not. So it was right after the fumble run back that was overturned because Cook's knee was down.
Yeah.
So right when that happens, like, you know, screaming whatever, then immediately cussing and jumping up and down or whatever, I get a knock on my door. It's a neighbor. I didn't go to the door. I was like, it doesn't appear to be that anybody's dying. I don't know if you need a cup of sugar. I don't know what. I can't do it. So I ignored it for 15 minutes. I was like, nope, can't do it at all. Karma going to get me there, or am I well justified given the situation?
No, you're fine. You don't have to answer.
Because it wasn't going to be a situation where it was, hey, yeah, sure, bye. It was going to be a 10-minute deal. I didn't have 10 minutes right there.
No, you're not obligated to answer your door.
No, no, no.
Or your phone.
Yeah. I was like, no, I think I'm good right now.
So. I use the ignore button on my phone sometimes. Still want to take the call.
No harm. Just
yeah, it's not personal. Now's not a good time.
Somebody says Dolphins could take him at 5 and redshirt him if he comes out.
Could. Absolutely.
That is a possibility.
Absolutely. Now, in today's NFL, you've got to feel pretty good about, if you're the redshirter, the person who's putting the redshirt on, you got to feel like you're going to get more time.
Seattle advancing, they play. So both wild card teams win over the weekend.
Hey, before you get to that, someone asked a really good question here, which is, it's not necessarily about Ole Miss, but if Tua stays and you're Mac Jones, you leave, right?
I think you have to, 100%. Yeah, I just do. I just don't think you can give up another year. How many has he got left? Is he a sophomore? Does he have two left?
He has two left.
I think he has two.
But he's been there 3 years. He's graduated.
Yeah. You got to go.
I mean, I don't know what his personal situation is. I mean, who knows? Maybe he has
a steady
girlfriend or whatnot. I don't know. But I think
from a football standpoint, it feels, because you showed enough, you'll have a lot of options.
Well, he was very good in their bowl game.
You can go most anywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
Maybe he goes to LSU.
Did Lane Kiffin coach him at Alabama?
He recruited him, at least.
Recruited him. I don't know that they ever coached him.
Yeah, I don't think he would have coached him. Let's see. Yes, he is a sophomore. He has 2 years remaining.
He's a redshirt sophomore.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah. I think he graduates this summer.
Because he turns 22 in September. So, yeah.
Boy.
You got to go.
Yeah.
If Tua comes back, you have to go.
You have to go.
I think you're right. Yeah. Kiffin recruited him. Sarkisian coached him.
Okay.
So.
And the next question is, if I'm Ole Miss, do I recruit him? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he would walk onto your campus as the best quarterback on your roster for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And you let the chips fall where they may with the other stuff.
Yeah. If you can get a quarterback who is the best quarterback, you go. You get him. That's
It's also one of the advantages about being a new coach. You're not connected to the old guys. Do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. He would be a guy that would immediately become a target. And that's why today is potentially a really big news day with Tua, with Lincoln Riley. Who gets the Oklahoma job if it opens up? Premier top five national job, Oklahoma. No doubt. Right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, of course.
Be fascinating to see who goes after and who gets that job.
What's your guess? What's the profile?
The profile is the next Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, find that guy.
Offensive guy. I mean, there could be two Big 12 jobs open within the week. Lincoln Riley goes to Dallas and Rule goes to the Giants or the Panthers. He interviews with both.
Speaking of a couple guys a minute ago, you mentioned huge or both got wins. DK Metcalf huge last night for the Seahawks.
He was remarkable.
Converted 9 targets into 7 catches, 160 yards, 22.9 per. Scored just a man-sized touchdown, overpowering the Eagles' defensive back. He's making a lot of people look stupid right now.
Well, the whole league. I mean, everybody passed on him.
Yeah. Worried about injuries, worried about flexibility, worried about separation. Concerns at the time, I at least kind of nodded in my head and went, I mean, I'll take him, but sure, I mean, whatever you feel like, I guess.
I guess. You know me. I never understood it. Now, he is in the absolute perfect place. Playing for a quarterback who is the right kind of quarterback for him. He's in the right system. But they put him in position to make plays, and he makes them over and over and over. I think AJ's going to win Rookie of the Year, and you could argue DK's been more productive. They've both had fantastic seasons. AJ did not have a statistical game the other day, but New England spent a lot of time trying to take him away, and it opened a lot of stuff up for other people, including Derrick Henry.
And those guys are son of a guns out on the edge blocking.
Yeah, and Derrick Henry is a bad
boy.
He is,
isn't he? Woo, I mean, son. Last week we talked about it, but again today, the Titans are fun. They're fun.
Oh, yeah.
They really are.
Well, they're pretty good. I don't get many right, but I called that one.
You giving them a chance here?
Not a good one, but a chance. Sure. You're in it.
Make the tournament.
You got to go win. You got to go do it. But look, they just took down New England on the road on a Saturday night. Yeah, if you can pull that off, you can win games. What's the matchup for the weekend? What are the games this weekend? I haven't even looked yet.
Well, San Francisco plays Minnesota on
That's a Saturday game.
That's Saturday. That is at 3:35. In San Francisco, obviously. Tennessee plays Baltimore Saturday night, 7:15 for that one, Titans-Ravens. Houston plays Kansas City Sunday at 2:05, and then your 5:40 Sunday game is Seattle at Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
It's the best weekend of the NFL season.
I give Minnesota actually a chance against San Francisco. I think they can win.
I do too. I give Seattle a real chance at Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I might even pick them to win outright. They did not play very well yesterday, I didn't think. But the Eagles were so limited, it just didn't matter for the most
part. Tennessee-Baltimore has a chance to be a really entertaining game.
It does. Houston found a way, I guess. Give them credit.
Well, I'll tell you what now. That play that Deshaun Watson made in the fourth quarter was, whoa. Like Carson and I were upstairs watching that. We thought he was about to just get sandwiched. And then you hate to say it was Dawson Knox on that quarterback run. It was a great play call. And Knox and one other guy just whiffed on their blocks. If they get those blocks, I think Buffalo gets a field goal and wins the game.
Do you really?
I do. Huge play. If you're Buffalo, that hurts because you had that game sort of in command the whole time.
Oh, you were, yeah, you were, it was, you'd coached a pretty good game. Allen is a good football player. I don't necessarily love him as a quarterback. Does that make sense? Like he's
well, he freaked out a little.
Yeah.
You could tell it was his first playoff game, all that stuff.
He did what he needed to do for the most part. But yeah, he had a moment there, and Deshaun Watson found himself. I mean, he was 90% completion percentage in the fourth quarter and beyond. So they won a game.
Watson's terrific. Yeah, it was bad day for the Bears.
I'm to look up happy that Laramie is on a better team than he would have been in Miami, obviously.
Yeah. Look, if you were someone like me who didn't have a vested interest in any of those games, the NFL was super entertaining this weekend. The one play that I hate from the weekend, and it makes me want to cheer against the Seahawks a little bit, and that is the Jadeveon Clowney. That was a dirty play. Mm-hmm. He was intentionally trying to hurt Carson Wentz, in my opinion, and you can't convince me otherwise. He contorted his body in a way to use his head and helmet as a weapon and drove it right into the back of Wentz's head. I think he was trying to knock him out.
Continued discussion in 1 second. First, take about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. Our underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, a leader in condo financing in Oxford, and the float down option. So you can lock in the current rate, but if rates come up before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Our guest will join us this week on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Every Sunday, it is Sunday brunch. Not sure what this Sunday will be. Probably be brunch because the games won't start until 2 o'clock. Be a great place to start your day. $3 mimosas, $5 famous Bloody Marys. Brunch begins every day at 10:45, and I recommend that it's a great, good place for you to check out. A huge area, great food, Cajun cuisine, fantastic burgers. Check it out, Rafters on the Square in Oxford. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine seeing something new. Step forward and chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen and Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. So call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth. Let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile. 12-month, no interest, no down payment. Financing available. CorinthDental.com. We're also brought to you by Splinter Creek. It's a gated conservation community. It's 8 miles southwest of Oxford, 75 minutes from the Memphis airport. The website, splintercreekms.com, 601-898-2772 to schedule a tour with Tom Smith Land and Home Agents today. They've been in Garden and Gun, Southern Living, and more. It's absolutely beautiful property, 34 lakefront lots ranging in size from 2 to 25 acres, 650 acres of lakes, pine, and hardwood forest, 6 miles of private roads, well-maintained running, cycling, and hiking trails, so much more. The lakes are sort of the main streets of Splinter Creek. Each one has a combination of docks, floating piers, a pavilion with fire pit, outdoor kitchen, and more. All of that at Splinter Creek, splintercreekms.com. Zach Berry and I will be taping a soft verbal podcast as early as today. Today or tomorrow, I think is the plan. That is brought to you by Dead Soxy. Dead Soxy, we've been telling you about Dead Soxy for a while now. They now have a mesh bag that goes in the wash. It goes in the dryer as well. All you do is you take your socks, you just throw them in there, wash them, dry them. You don't have to worry about losing a sock. Helps keep the integrity of the sock design lasting longer as well. Customers who spend $75 or more will receive one of these bags for free. So limited quantities remain. Go to Rebel Grow. Go to deadsoxy.com and enter the promo code Rebel Grove for 30% off.
Mentioned basketball a little bit ago. Ole Miss goes to Wichita, loses 74-54 to the Shockers, down by 15 at the half, 39-24. And frankly, for the most part, Wichita coasted to the victory. Ole Miss, same problems, different day for the most part as they fall to 9-4. Yeah. They are 0-2 away from home, and they've got a critical must-win in College Station tomorrow night.
I wrote this in 10 thoughts. Not 10 thoughts, in 10 observations.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm not even going to participate. This is not directed at you. I'm just not going to participate in what's an NCAA discussion right now. I know people say, well, they don't have a bad loss. They don't. They have one really good win that keeps getting better. Penn State beat Iowa the other day in Philadelphia. But look, right now they're not an NCAA tournament team. They don't look like one. They don't play like one. They don't act like one. If you insist on having that conversation, not you, Chase, just you generally, then both games this week are must wins. You've got to beat Texas A&M on the road, and you get Arkansas at home. Arkansas off to the best start in program history from our numbers standpoint. I'm not sure where they are in the net. I'd guess in the 30s somewhere. You'd have to win that game too to get yourself some momentum. I mean, if they get off to a 2-0 start in the league, then I'll change my stance and we can start talking again about bubbles and such. But right now, they don't look like one of those type teams.
Arkansas is at 24 in the net right now.
Yeah, they had a nice win at home against Texas A&M on Saturday night. Had a huge crowd there. Campbell was in the house. I was like, "Hey, have you been to a basketball game?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, you should go. They're fun." Mm-hmm. So we turned to it for just a minute. She stood and looked at it, eyes glazed over. I said, "Never mind."
Ole Miss is at 68. A&M is at 181, if you're curious.
Yeah. Just Ole Miss doesn't look like a tournament team right now. They frankly look like a team that's going to have a difficult time to get
so,
into the
NIT. Okay, let's do this.
And someone's asking about G-Pits. Yes, we're taping at G-Pits. We just didn't do one during the holidays. Coordinating holiday schedules are almost impossible.
So let's do it this way. What Ole Miss is dealing with right now, they appear to absolutely lack a scorer. Some of the new guys have not played to the capability that was expected. A lot of stuff. Tyree trying to do way too much, but frankly, they don't have scorers. How much of this is a now problem and how much of this is a problem in general from maybe a program standpoint? What do they need? Like, kind of go small picture to big picture for me a little bit.
Well, small picture, Kermit said this in his postgame Saturday. He's exactly right. They have four guys that are back from a year ago. Brian Tyree, Devontae Shuler, KJ Buffin, and Blake Henson. And for this team to maximize, all four of those guys have to play well. And right now, all four of those guys have different types of problems. Frankly, of the four, Devontae is having the most consistent season at this point. Brian is letting his offense translate to defense. In baseball terms, he is the hitter in a slump who is taking his bat to the field. It is in his head. He's not playing as well defensively when he's not playing well on offense, and he can't let that happen. He has to let defense become offense, and he's not doing that. KJ Buffin right now is playing like a very immature player.
Early fouls killing him every night.
Yeah, people say he's regressed. I don't know that he's regressed. I think he's a better basketball player than he was a year ago, but he's not playing very mature.
He's doing a lot what TD did when TD was kind of bad before he took that step.
Kind of having TD's junior year.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Very frustrating year in a lot of ways.
And then Blake looks like a guy who didn't have an offseason. Blake looks like a guy who's still kind of playing his way into shape, and his shot selection is – you want him to be confident, but you don't want him to be so confident that he's taking bad shots, and right now he's taking bad shots. I think Crowley was sick. I think Bryce Williams was hurt. Kermit is big on toughness. That's his word. He uses it a lot. He's begging this team to be tougher. And I don't know that it has that level of toughness. This team a year ago was tougher than this team. They're getting some stuff out of Hadeem C. They need to get more. Sammy Hunter's not giving them anything right now. He's defensively. I wrote this after the game against who'd they play before Wichita?
Tennessee Tech.
Yeah. defensively, he's playing himself off the floor. And so, you know, they got the quick fouls with Brian and the quick fouls with KJ, and give Wichita credit. They played really good on defense, and they out-toughed them, and that's a tough place to play. And Wichita's really good. I don't know where they are in the net. I'd guess somewhere around 10, 12. You know, it's not a bad loss, but at some point you got to play better and look better in these games. They were never in that game.
Like I had that up a second ago. Not that it matters. Yeah, Wichita's somewhere around the top 10.
I mean, they're really good.
They're at 9 now after the win.
The kid who lit Ole Miss up is a really good player.
By a soda pop, tell me who's number one in the net. Who you think it is?
Dayton.
No, they're 8.
Okay.
It's a random team, why I said that,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I don't know.
San Diego State.
Oh.
San Diego State.
Yeah, they and Auburn are the only undefeated teams.
The Fighting Eric Winters are 14-0 and 4-0 on the road. And, yeah, so.
Where's Auburn?
Auburn is at 6 in the net. San Diego State, Kansas, Butler, Duke, Baylor, Auburn, Gonzaga, Dayton, Wichita State, Michigan State, top 10.
Okay.
Michigan State seems to have not given up on the season after losing to Kentucky in the season opener. They're doing all right.
Yeah, something tells me Tom Izzo didn't lose.
12-3 though. They actually started off pretty sluggish, and they found it.
I actually watched. We were taking down Christmas decorations. I actually watched some of Penn State Iowa. That was a pretty good game. All Big Ten jokes aside, Big Ten basketball is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Teams are real physical. They bang. Stuff is kind of fun. What?
Oh, nothing. So, what's Ole Miss bringing in recruiting-wise? How does this get fixed moving forward?
Well, I thought he had some interesting comments. Obviously, they're bringing in Matthew Morrell, and he's going to play a huge role right away, whether Shuler stays or not. And I know what people are saying. Why would he leave? Shuler is going to think about going to Europe. I'm just going to tell you he is. Not saying he's going to go. I'm just telling you he's going to think about going to Europe and making some money and playing for money next year.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting that he said he was going out recruiting after that game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had to go recruit some toughness into his program. He very clearly...
Is that speaking to his team through the media?
Yes.
Okay.
I've told you that I have sensed lately that Kermit is a little frustrated with the media, and I think it's because we're not asking the questions to get the answers to send to the players. And I think part of what he's trying to tell them is some of you cats are about to get your asses processed. Now, to process them, you've got to go out and recruit better players.
Of course.
If you told me today, I would guess that Ole Miss is going to be heavily involved in the grad transfer market. And when I say heavily, I mean two players. He's got to get tougher. He's got a lot of nice kids, but he's got to get guys that play harder than they play. One of the things that I notice about them as compared to a year ago is they don't play with the same level of emotion.
No.
They're very flat.
Well, and, you know, knowing Kermit and watching Kermit coach for a number of years when he was at Middle and whatever. And again, look, you got to have toughness to win in college basketball, period. That's just it's a requirement. But that's one thing that if you don't have, it will piss him off night in and night out. It will drive him insane.
Yeah.
The lack of intensity, as you mentioned, the lack of toughness. Because, you know, he wasn't frustrated even after the Butler loss. They just missed tons of open shots. Sure. They're a team that doesn't shoot very well, so they're going to miss a lot of open shots.
Sure.
It's what they do. But, hey, that is what it is.
They played really hard
that
night.
Yeah, that's my point.
Right.
It's this that's pissing him off. Yeah. It's not the other thing. That just that, okay, fine, whatever. We'll move on and go from there.
No doubt. No, he defended them after the Butler game because they played really well. Just shots didn't fall.
Yeah.
That happens.
And they might be a team where the shots just don't fall.
And it might be that. But, boy, if that's going to be the case, then you better really be able to dial it up on defense. You've got to be able to create offense from defense. And they're not doing that. They're letting teams dictate on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that. You've got to be the team that other teams, when they get through playing you, they say, man, it's no fun to drive into the lane against those cats.
10 of the 14 SEC teams have at least 4 losses in the non-con.
Yeah.
10 of the 14.
Yeah.
Auburn's 13-0. Arkansas's 12-1. Kentucky's 10-3. Playing a great schedule, obviously.
Yeah.
Georgia's 10-3. Got a big win.
Well, they got a big win, and the Edwards kid is a stud.
Well, he's a top five pick, I would assume.
Yeah. Georgia went to Memphis and won with now DJ Jeffries did not play, and that was a factor for Memphis.
Of course.
But Georgia's good. They're not great. They're good. Arkansas went to Indiana and won. Auburn has won some games. No huge games, but they're really good.
Tennessee 8-5. Played a good schedule, but 8-5 is pretty weak there.
Yeah, they're not particularly good.
A&M 6-6. They're bad. Maybe the worst team in the league.
I'll tell you who's getting better fast.
Who?
Alabama.
Alabama currently 7-6.
They went to Florida and lost in double overtime.
Missouri 8-5. State 9-4. Got beat by Auburn in the SEC opener.
Yeah.
Carolina 8-5. Vanderbilt 8-5. Florida 9-4. LSU 9-4. LSU hammered Tennessee.
Yeah. There's a lot of games.
Tennessee social media mentioning money in their end of game tweet against LSU.
Really?
The other night. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Something about try to give them a run for their money or something like that. Yeah. There was a little dig there at the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah, because God knows nobody's ever bought a player in Knoxville. No cheating there.
None.
Mm-mm. Actually, uncovered cheating there when I was at the Mobile Register. Traced down the booster and everything who was paying for T. Martin. And the league just, nope.
No Oblo Inglés. Nope. No idea.
No idea what you're talking about. I literally had the Western Union receipt.
You had the receipt?
Yes.
Well, you can't prove where that went after that. All you know it was wired to that spot. You don't know what it was for. I mean, there's a lot there that just is unknown, Neil. I mean, shaky.
It was probably the day that I cemented my status as you're never going to be an SEC favorite. I wasn't.
SEC blogger was never in your future.
No, so, not after that day.
So during this period, how many years difference this was, you get a Western Union receipt for this, and you get
And the middleman was a sports writer at my newspaper.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
That was the end of his tenure at the Mobile Register.
Well, there's... Yeah.
Hey, it opened up the Saints beat.
So... That's probably the second most shocking thing you've had other than the Mike Price room service itinerary or whatever it was that night.
Well, frankly, the T. Martin thing should have been a much bigger story. I mean, the Mike Price thing was just one guy's personal failings. The T. Martin thing was an institution. Me being able to prove that a booster in Mobile was paying the quarterback at the University of Tennessee who happened to be from Mobile.
Yeah.
Hello?
It's funny, though, when Jamarcus doesn't really, like, make your top several list of all the stuff that has gone on and happened.
No. That was just him being a pain in the ass.
Jamarcus?
Yeah.
This is no wonder T didn't want to come to Oxford.
I doubt if T even remembers.
First question of the press conference, McGrady. So, back in whatever, remember? What year was this? 97? 98?
Yeah, 98, 99. No, it was in Mobile, so it had to be 99 or after.
Okay.
When did T won the title? And
it was a 98 season.
Yeah.
This
was a couple years after he'd been gone, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because he was over in Germany playing in the... Remember when the NFL had...
NFL Europe.
Europe. Yeah. So I tracked him down in Europe.
Did you?
Yeah, he talked to me. I tracked him down at his hotel in Europe.
And he spoke?
Yeah, he spoke.
He played The Rain Fire.
Okay.
2002.
Okay.
Take my word for it.
Sure.
Then he was a practice squad player for the Eagles in 02, Raiders 03, Winnipeg Blue Bombers 04 and 05. And that was it. So, yeah, currently associate head coach, wide receivers coach at the University of Tennessee. That is fact.
Yep.
We'll take a break in the show. We'll tell you about G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar in Oxford, Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs. With G&M, you know, they deliver local to your home or workplace. They also offer MedSyncs. They fill your prescriptions the same day every month. Make it easy on you to get what you need when you need it. And with Right Way Meds, they will individually package every single dose of medication. Timestamp it, have it ready for you when you need it. So that's right there on South Lamar in Oxford. Take advantage of them again, 662-236-2222.
Our friends at Blue Delta Jeans want to give a big thank you to all of the listeners of the Oxford Exxon podcast for their incredible support in 2019, and they're thrilled to move into 2020 with the Rebel Grove Community SEC play. Whoops, didn't mean to do that. Hold on. SEC play is about to begin, and I had my ad reader. About to kick off in Oxford. As you make your way into Oxford to cheer on Kermit and the Ole Miss basketball team, don't forget to stop by the Blue Delta Jeans studio to check out Blue Delta's awesome jeans, cotton pants, chinos, and even their stretch corduroy fabrics for the winter. The Oxford studio is open 10 to 6 every day except Sunday, but if you need an after-hours fitting, don't hesitate to reach out to Blue Delta Jeans on social media or at info@bluedeltajeans.com to get your custom fitting scheduled. We'll have picks up on Thursday. One more game this week. It's the Lending Tree Bowl tonight in Mobile, speaking of. Those picks are sponsored by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. They've got your pregame and pre-concert needs covered, whether you're headed to Oxford for the Rebels SEC basketball slate or to Tupelo for one of the many events like Miranda Lambert on January the 16th. Make sure you get your event started off right with a visit to Southern Craft, conveniently located off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue in Oxford, and at 205 East Troy Street in Tupelo. Southern Craft has all your Southern favorites ready to serve your hunger needs, or drop in and enjoy a curated cocktail or one of their many craft beers on tap. Don't forget to ask about their banquet room for private dining or to have all of your favorites catered for any occasion from office to private event. Now available in both locations, that's Southern Craft Stove and Tap. And we're brought to you by Nest and Wild. Sleep better with a Nest and Wild mattress. Nest and Wild is a Mississippi-based mattress company making a high-quality mattress that's delivered right to your door. They make buying a new mattress easy. Every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick, giving you comfort and support that will last. A lot of online brands sell an 8-inch or a 10-inch mattress with less support and durability, but from the twin size to the California King, every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick. Nest and Wild mattresses are 100% American made. The pricing is competitive, and when you throw in the podcast discount, man, it's even better. In addition to that, when you shop with Nest and Wild, you are fighting cancer in your sleep. Nest and Wild has partnered with former Major League pitcher Jason Mott and his foundation in the fight against cancer. Every mattress sold, Nest and Wild donates a portion of that mattress back to Jason's charity. It's a no-risk decision. Nest and Wild believes in its product so much that they're offering a 99-night trial on every mattress. So try it out. Sleep on it for 99 nights. And if you don't like it, you can return it. Go to nestandwild.com and order your mattress. Use the podcast code REBEL20 and get 20% off your purchase. Your mattress will arrive at your door in 3 to 5 days. We'll be taping a Mind on My Money podcast tomorrow. That is brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. They're based in Madison, Mississippi. They represent clients in more than 20 states. They have advisors in multiple states as well. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and so much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box that is made just for you. It's pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
So you mentioned the Lending Tree Bowl. Napier starting in Starkville tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next Tuesday. What's the schedule here? Is he It's had a deal done for a while. So
The deal's been done for a long time. The damn media just keeps asking questions, and he's very focused on winning this Lending Tree Bowl game. And once he gets through with this game, man, he's going to start ringing cowbells. He's off to Starkville. This has all just been a great media charade. You know, the Mississippi State people try to train the media to take everything.
Well, that's been documented. Been given to a reporter.
To try to take everything through sports information before you report it.
Bill Martin told Football Scoop that in 2016.
And some really bad reporters, guys like Ross Dellinger and Brett McMurphy, very clearly don't know how to report. And they have not authorized some of their reporting through Mississippi State. And they're going to look silly come Tuesday morning, when Billy Napier is the new head coach at Mississippi State.
So you're not giving that a large chance that Napier is the next guy?
No, I can tell you he's not.
Okay. Well, as a reporter, my concern with that tweet, and I'm making fun of Horka without really even meaning to. I just like the situation more than anything else.
I feel sorry for Horka that there's nobody over there to say,
no,
hey,
there's no guidance.
Kid. I told him in a tweet, dude, you're hurting yourself here. Stop.
That's kind of my point is Dellinger put something out and I immediately think, hey, let me go against that. I better go, whoa. I need to hold up.
Well, let's think about this for a minute. Ross Dellinger, national reporter, phenomenal. If I tell you, hey, you're competing with Dellinger on this story, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Two things. He's got a Louisiana connection here with Napier. Two,
he's got some state connections.
Exactly.
He's from Mississippi.
He knows the Mississippi State deal.
Yeah.
Might not want to question him.
And like you said, it wasn't like he went seeking it.
No.
He's busy with other crap right now.
And then when people call out McMurphy as being a, quote, keyboard warrior, this is the dude who took down Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Come on. Stop it. That must be the most insulated beat in the country.
I have no idea who they're hiring at all. No clue.
They
want the Joe Judge guy, right? You're a little bit
right
to
now, to, as of yesterday, and I haven't worked on it since yesterday, and I didn't quote work.
Whoa,
on
work.
It.
Work.
I made a couple of phone calls because I was curious. I can't help it. I like coaching searches. I spent about 30 minutes on it yesterday.
Yeah, right. Ross is actually a state grad. I'd forgotten that.
Is he?
Yeah.
The two names that were really flying around yesterday were Todd Grantham and Joe Judge.
And Judge has got some NFL looks. Right?
At least
some interviews. Yeah,
here's the
yeah.
funny part about Judge. So we were talking about, you know, what are the Cowboys looking for? The NFL, Judge has been with Belichick. He's been with Saban at Alabama a little bit. I think he's 38.
Judge?
Yeah.
I'm looking him up right now.
As an NFL guy, he makes sense at a place because he can come in, he run an NFL system and stuff like that. This is not a guy that, if you're hiring him in today's SEC, it is real risky.
All right, so he's from Pennsylvania. He played football at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
He was a GA at State 2005-2007.
Okay.
Linebackers coach, Birmingham Southern 2008. Alabama special teams assistant 2009-2011.
Okay.
Patriots special teams assistant 2012-2014. And has been the special teams coordinator at New England 2015-2018. And starting this season, he was also the wide receivers coach. So special teams coordinator and wide receivers coach. He was a part of the Alabama staff that won 2 BCS national championships, and he has 3 Super Bowl rings with the New England Patriots.
Okay. How old is he?
He is 37 years old.
37.
He is one year older than me.
Okay.
Actually, technically almost 2 years older than me, but whatever. Fine. Close enough.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a lot more sense in the NFL than he does as a college head coach.
Yeah.
The NFL, you don't recruit. You just have to know personnel. You have to know organizational systems. You have to be able to assemble a good staff. The college game's a completely different
animal.
Yeah,
he has no college experience whatsoever other than essentially a GA or a low-level assistant. That's it.
It's
not the same game.
He's a guy that if he didn't go to Mississippi State, he wouldn't even be on their radar,
yeah.
which to me, and I've said this before, is an immediate disqualification.
Yeah.
It's the first question. If I'm ever the AD someplace, the first question I ask myself if I'm thinking about hiring an alumnus is,
would I hire him if he did not
this
have...
person did not go to Ole Miss, would I hire him?
Well, it goes the other way, too. It goes, hey, would Auburn hire him? Would A&M hire him? You know what I mean? Well, same question.
That's
but
the second question.
Yeah. Is this guy up for any other college job anywhere? Or are we just strictly doing this because he has a piece of paper on a wall?
And the answer is he has a piece of paper on the wall. And when one of the things that people say is, well, his wife went there, too. What? So?
Well, that makes him really qualified.
Well, that's that thing where people go, well, that what
she
that
knows
tells,
her way around the Cotton District. It makes all the sense in the world.
That tells me that you're concerned about someone leaving. I see people do it. They get Mississippi State people. MSU Twitter is the most insane group of people on the face of the planet.
They close in on Florida State Twitter on being maybe the worst on the internet.
Yeah, Florida State Twitter is way up there. Yeah, yeah. But they get in on this deal. Kiffin's going to leave Ole Miss. And my thing is always, okay, so if you told me that in 3 years Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss voluntarily, okay, that means he won big.
Means he kicked your...
Means he kicked ass. And if I'm Ole Miss, I go, hey, cool, we'll come over. We're going to help you pack. We're going to throw a party. Here's some of your favorite beer. Good luck. Thanks. That's the response to that. That whole...
Hope everything at USC goes well the second time.
Here's my supermodel thing again as we get ready for The Bachelor that starts tonight.
Oh, it does it.
Oh, it does. Absolutely.
You got a podcast in place yet?
It's a possibility.
Really?
Yeah.
I was kind of kidding.
Might do some stuff.
All right.
Here's the supermodel.
Sure. Okay. I know where you're going.
Find an average-looking guy. Me.
Okay.
Okay, me. Average-looking, nothing. I mean, I'm not just hideous, but I'm certain no one's ever going to call me handsome.
Okay.
Average-looking guy. Back in my single days, of course.
When you had hair.
Not even that. Just okay. Whatever.
I know, I'm just saying.
You get to date a supermodel. Now, understand, here's the catch. In a couple of years, or in this scenario, in 3 years, she's going to leave you for a better-looking, richer guy. Okay? Take it or leave it.
Some dude who basically owns Sweden is going to take her here soon. So
in about 3 years.
Yeah.
He's going to take her away from you, and she's going to leave you with very little warning. Are you in? And the answer is, hell yes, I'm in. Why? Two reasons.
Yeah.
One,
3 years.
I get to sleep with the supermodel for 3 years. Two, it stands to reason that during those 3 years, I'm going to meet some of her friends who are going to at least be intrigued by what does she see in him. And when we break up,
the first supermodel, it's much easier to get the second.
When we break up, I guarantee you, I'm going to have a couple of supermodels slide into my DMs. Guarantee it. So as long as I don't just wig out and act like a freak, this is going to work out for me. I'm going to go from one supermodel to another supermodel. I'm going to start dating supermodels as habitually. As long as I don't lose it and go crazy when she leaves me, I've got to be dignified. I got to handle it the right way. Another supermodel is going to come my way. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Well, and
because if Lane Kiffin comes to Ole Miss and kicks ass and in 3 years is the next head coach at fill in the blank, Oklahoma, okay? Okay?
Okay.
For him to get that job, he had to win big. And if he wins big, two things happen. Your roster's better,
well, see,
and the next guy says, hey, you can win
see,
big there.
That's actually where the supermodel analogy works best, is that in 3 years, you're a better version of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in a little better shape. Maybe you got some hair plugs. Whatever's going on, you're in good shape.
Yeah, I've been hanging out so in the right even clubs and stuff.
Even if it's not a supermodel, well, hey, I got a lot better shot at that 8.5 or that 9 all of a sudden instead of the whatever. You know what I mean?
Of course.
That's the part here. Because, yeah, he lives in 3 years. You got some dudes on your roster.
Yep.
You got a little more of your brand back that you had that you lost at this point, frankly.
Yep.
All that stuff rolling in the right direction.
Yep. It's not the whole, I don't want someone who's going to leave me quickly. Oh, screw that. In today's football, man, who cares?
Small Arkansas State had it going there at their level for so long.
Well, they still kind of do.
Freeze, Malzahn, Blake Anderson.
This guy's okay,
He hasn't had the whatever.
He hasn't had the big jump yet, but he's kept them consistent. They're in a bowl game.
Yeah, they're fine. They're one of the best programs in that league.
Yeah, they're fine. If he leaves, they know what they're looking for.
So, what's Napier doing?
Well, two things. One, he wants to see what happens with Baylor. Two, he is a deep thinker. I wrote this back in the Ole Miss thing. This is a different guy. This is not a Jimmy Sexton client. Mm-mm. This is a Roussel client. He is a he's willing to gamble on himself. He's fine at Louisiana Lafayette. He can stay another year. He can stay another 2 years. He's still fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
He's got time. He believes that he can get a better job than Mississippi State. Now, is there risk involved in that? Of course. Billy Napier makes roughly $1 million a year at Louisiana Lafayette. Mississippi State would pay him at least three times that. So, yeah, there's risk. And as someone, I talked to a coach, I've spent more time talking to coaches than I care to admit. I talked to a coach who was talking about group of five jobs.
Okay.
And he said, here's the thing with a group of five job that you got to remember. If you're at a group of five program, almost invariably, you don't have a super amount of depth, and injuries can decimate you faster there than they can at, say, at Alabama. Or a Tennessee or an LSU or even an Ole Miss where you lose you lose Sanogo and you can replace him with another linebacker. Probably not the best example to use, but regardless. At a group of five school, you lose your quarterback and you are screwed. And so you can go from being 11-2 like Lafayette is right now. I think they'll be 12-2 after tonight. You can go from that to 5-7 quickly.
Yeah, Miami Ohio was bad.
Yeah, and when you go back to 5-7, well, now nobody wants you.
Get out. You get a chance, get out.
But you want to make sure that you are at a place that you think you can win. And he does not believe, according to multiple people, that that is a good job for him.
Little news, Jay Glazer reporting the Dallas Cowboys have agreed in terms of Mike McCarthy to be its next head coach.
Really?
Yes.
Not Lincoln Riley.
That is the word.
Mike McCarthy. If there has ever been a league of just retread it, baby.
If you're in, NFL head coaches and left-handed relievers, you're in forever. No matter what, you'll find a job. Somebody will pay you to get this thing done.
Yep.
Green Bay from 2006 to 2018. The 49ers offensive coordinator before that. He was the Saints offensive coordinator under Jim Haslett for
a while. Where was McCarthy this year? Out of the game?
Out of the game.
Whew.
Nothing. He has nothing on his resume for 2019. I mean, man.
It's interesting. It also tells you that Lincoln Riley is pretty happy where he is. He's willing to wait.
McCarthy was one of the he took the Green Bay job instead. He's one of the guys that the Saints were really looking at hard when they hired Peyton in 2006. I forget who else was on that list. It's an interesting list of who the Saints were picking from there in 06.
So the jobs that are open in the league right now, Panthers, Giants, because the Redskins hired a retread in Rivera. Cowboys have now hired McCarthy. I don't even know what other jobs are open in the league.
Carolina's still open.
Yes, what's that? Yeah, Panthers, Giants. Yeah.
I think that's it. If I'm the Cowboys, It's Jerry being Jerry right there.
It's Jerry wanting to control it. If you're Lincoln Riley, you don't leave Oklahoma for Dallas unless you are assured contractually that you're going to have control.
And there's no assurance.
No.
Not there.
Oklahoma's a top five job. You don't leave a top five job for an NFL job that might not be what you want it to be.
Here's the deal, though, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. They're the class of the Big 12. Duh.
Yeah.
They got to recruit better. They don't have enough players. When he gets to the playoff to win the whole thing, which is your expectation of the University of Oklahoma,
yeah,
they don't have good enough players. They got out-athleted year over year in this playoff right now.
You got to think the LSU game was a real eye-opener for them.
I know they were banged up defensively. I understand
that. Yeah, it doesn't matter. No. I know what I saw.
Yeah, it wasn't.
You know what I mean?
That just made it a 35-point game instead of a 21-point game is what that did.
People can belittle the eye test, and sometimes I'm with you, but sometimes the eye test is like, oh, okay. I know what I saw.
Yeah. Beat down.
All you got to do is watch the first half of that game. Turn it off. I don't care what happened in the second half when LSU was checked out. Tell me what happened in the first half when LSU was dialed in. I know exactly what I saw.
What's the line? LSU Clemson.
I think LSU's like a 3-point favorite, but I haven't looked. I was going to look today.
I'll do it right now. While I am looking that up, I'll tell you about Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout North Mississippi. But in addition to the edging, weed eating, and regular mowing that you can get done with them all year long or when it's least necessary, and it will warm up here soon for you to need that. They build custom playgrounds or pool decks and much more. Really, anything outdoor living space, they will take care of you. 662-607-7773 for a free quote. You get that same free quote at gomastercuts.com.
The mailbag will be back on Wednesday. It's brought to you by the Westin Jackson, home to Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. It's also home to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro, where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail or enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. So head over to Estelle at the Westin Jackson today. The podcast is also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. No matter what kind of trip you're thinking about, golf trip with the guys, anniversary trip, trip to Europe, think about something for the summer already, Florida, the Caribbean, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values, unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. All you do is you get in touch with him, you give him some parameters, you give him a budget. He gives you options that you're never going to find on your own. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services either. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off the first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Speaking of travel, if you are looking to travel in a Nissan vehicle, I highly recommend Grenada Nissan. It's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. And when you call OUB, you get Kasasa. It's the absolute best cash checking account. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000, refund ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by Bluff City Advisory Group. They're dedicated to building the future you desire. Founded in Memphis in 2019, their team is comprised of established and seasoned financial experts who came together to serve individuals and families of their beloved hometown. The firm is built on decades of wealth management experience. They've seen it all. Their financial advisors have a reputation for professional excellence, and their clients rely on their high level of confidence and integrity. So whether you need guidance on developing a financial plan, creating a customized executive benefits program for your business, or preparing a detailed asset allocation analysis, Bluff City Advisory will provide forward-thinking and cost-effective investment strategies customized to uniquely fit each client. Bluff City values providing quality advice, experience, and access to all their clients, and they invite an open dialogue beyond your annual review. They believe that everyone deserves financial security, no matter your level of wealth or financial goal, and they'll serve as an advocate and guide to grow a portfolio that is fruitful and sustainable for you. Again, Bluff City Advisory Group in Memphis.
So the line opened at 6, and it is now at 5.5. 5.5 LSU over Clemson at the moment. You laying them?
That's about right, yeah.
Think so?
Probably so.
Tonight's game, 14 is the line for Miami of Ohio.
Laying them.
Lafayette, if you have a desire for that.
You got to enter your pick, by the way.
I already entered it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yesterday. Pretty sure.
I didn't
Unless
see
we were both in there at the same time or something.
Could have been. I don't know.
Okay. Miami Ohio, I guess, is like 6-6 on the year or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
They've actually...
I'm not watching that.
Not going to give that a lot of your time?
No, it's The Bachelor. 3-hour premiere.
Six. Actually, they've won 8 games.
Oh, good for them.
You still think they're getting hammered tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. They're going down.
You're rooting for Louisiana tonight?
I'm rooting for Louisiana Lafayette to cover a 14-point line.
Yes. The raging Cajuns.
I'll ask my friend in the phone tomorrow morning when I wake up, hey, who won? Let her tell me.
You know, the fourth quarter will not be when you turn that bad boy on.
The 3-hour season premiere of The Bachelor.
Okay, set us up. What we got going on?
Pilot Pete.
It's Pete. That's Windmill Guy, right?
Windmill Guy.
All right.
And apparently the Windmill, you got to give the guy credit. I mean, it is and that she bragged about it on national television.
It didn't hurt his Q rating.
He didn't care.
No. Come on.
Yeah, so Pilot Pete's The Bachelor. Tonight's the night they break out 25. Hannah supposedly is going to make an appearance.
What is she doing?
I think she's coming in just to kind of say goodbye.
Is she still with her other dude?
I don't know.
I know nothing about the
she
end
She did
of
Dancing
okay.
with the Stars.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And made it to the end.
All right. So she was like, she didn't win, but.
I don't know if she won or not.
Okay.
But she went to the end.
Okay.
Isn't it bad that I watched some of that show and don't know who won?
I'm looking it up.
That's an easy show to watch. Dancing with the Stars.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dancing with the Stars finale. Why Hannah Brown's win on Dancing with the Stars, something or other. So, yeah.
So she won.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no way she was able to film both of those at the same time. She couldn't go film, she couldn't be on The Bachelor for a long time while she was also doing Dancing with the Stars. So it stands to reason this is going to be make an appearance and say something and pass the torch. Supposedly it has some super dramatic ending. I've been trying to find spoilers and stuff, and so far
this is the one where it opens in a really stupid way. So yeah, like they tell you they play forward on you.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I saw Reality Steve's thread.
Yeah.
I did see Reality
yeah.
Steve's thread. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
I tweeted.
Yeah.
I said I'm embarrassed to admit how much I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it, though.
Are you more a fan of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
I like both.
You're even it's on it?
Psychopaths, man. I like nut jobs. Here's interesting.
I like nut jobs.
One of the Auburn assistant coach's daughters is one of the girls.
Really?
On this. Yes.
Which coach?
I can't remember.
Like one of their own field assistants?
No, one of the Auburn basketball.
Oh, basketball. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. White guy, dark hair. Kind of dark. Silver,
sure,
salt and pepper hair.
All right.
It's his daughter. Jay's buddies with this guy. And he refers to the daughter as a smoke show.
Jay does?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And anyway, he said, this was Jay and I talking. Jay's probably going to be mad at me, but we're going to do this on G-Pitch too, so it is what it is. He was saying one of the things he's really interested in is that this girl's super religious. And I read in that thread, her name is Madison, and in that thread, apparently, her virginity becomes quite a topic on the show as things head down the stretch.
Okay. Yeah, I'm being told that Reality Steve has not said who wins, but he's announced the final two, if you want all the spoilers there for that.
Oh, so, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give it away on the podcast.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not going to screw it for so many people that are watching and listening, but apparently that is the case. As I'm,
Leif says he's more disappointed text. That I've talked more about The Bachelor than NBA trade rumors. It's really weird this year. I have enjoyed watching the Thunder more this year than I have in years past, but I haven't watched as much of the regular league. I just haven't had as much time. For whatever reason, I haven't watched as much basketball as I normally do.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just know.
We will probably at least talk about The Bachelor for a second tomorrow on the show. We will, I don't know, we'll talk about something. We'll look at A&M a little bit for the heck of it with basketball tomorrow night.
Love After Lockup. Is that a show?
Surely not. Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. People, I don't know. People are going to get upset with me because I do talk about The Bachelor. I like The Bachelor.
For a lot of our new listeners, this is a thing. Just it is what it is. We do this.
There's this one guy that always complains on the YouTube feed.
Yes, Love After Lockup is a WETV show. Couples finally meet their fiancé upon prison release.
America,
yes.
Baby. So did you watch any of the Golden Globes last night?
Not a single second.
Okay, well, let me tell you, the 8 minutes that are worth watching. Ricky Gervais's monologue was phenomenal.
I've seen quotes and things, but I have not. Yeah. He just said, screw it, right?
Go find the whole thing, not the clips, and watch. It's worth 8 minutes of your time. It was fantastic.
Oh, gosh. The comments are cracking me up. Yes, Love After Lockup, WETV. Let's see.
And then the other, I'm just doing all sorts of television recommendations yesterday on 60 Minutes. On 60 Minutes, they did a really, really in-depth story about Jeffrey Epstein's death, which was...
I'm reading from the Love After Lockup Twitter account right now.
Yes.
Catch up with your favorite Life After Love couple. It's not easy, but Brittany, Santi 11, and Blaze Bird 1 make it work. Okay. Looks like Megan isn't the only person who needs to prove himself. We've got all kind of spoilers here on this Love After Lockup thing. Wow. Okay. I had this list for you. We'll close here. The Saints in 2006, they interviewed 5 people when they hired Sean Payton.
Okay.
They obviously hired Sean Payton. They interviewed Mike McCarthy, who took the job with the Packers, so he took himself out of the running.
Okay.
The other ones were Jets defensive coordinator Donnie Henderson, Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator Maurice Carthon, and Mike Martz. Those were the interviewees for the Saints job in 06.
They got it right.
It worked out.
Yeah.
What might be seen as a disappointing era in some ways, but either way, yes. If you get a ring, you got it right. No matter else, that's the way it works.
No doubt.
No matter what happens,
you
get one ring and it worked out.
So. It shows you how hard it is to win a title.
Yeah. Hopefully next year they just lose regularly. Just lose regularly.
Yeah, losing on last plays.
I mean,
brutal.
God.
Brutal.
3 years in a row.
Brutal. Yesterday would be one that would be a very frustrating loss because that's a game that you should have won.
It's such a wide open.
Yeah.
Nobody's great.
No.
It's very winnable.
Yeah. Like, Seattle's not great.
I still think last year, I mean, if the pass interference penalty doesn't happen, I think they beat the Patriots Super Bowl.
I do too.
I do. I think they win.
Well, it's like, you know, look at the rest of the playoffs. I wasn't blown away by the Seahawks yesterday.
No.
I mean, they're okay. They're not particularly good up front.
49ers are the best team in the NFC. If they're healthy, I don't know what's going on injury-wise.
And then, but they'll get tested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think they could lose. I think Minnesota can win that game.
Yeah.
So, all right, back tomorrow. Check rebelgrove.com. In the meantime, go have conversations and all our great threads we have going on over there. Plenty of stuff. Talking about half marathons. Got all kind of stuff going on over there today. So check that out, and we'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.